fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back again with a weekly look at the world of football below the top 92. Real football, as we like to call it. A bit of spit and sawdust, perhaps a little less polished than we'd all like. Raw, honest, but above all, passionate. Indeed, just like this week's show. Proving the point many have made to me in the past that non-league often comes before everything else, I do apologise now for the rather odd sound of this week's show. In a week with a multitude of issues combining recording this show with trying to earn a living has been tough. If some of the interviews sound a little bit tinny, or that they're recorded in a very small box-like room without any windows or ventilation, well, they were. And on a sweltering September afternoon, that was a feat in itself. Then, of course, there's the interview with the manager, which, because of timing, couldn't be recorded from the said tinny box, but instead was recorded out in the open in what looked to appear a fairly quiet Leicester Square in the centre of London, down a phone line. Quiet, of course, until the Hare Krishna procession came alongside me. This show is nothing if not authentic. It is the start of the FA Vars this weekend, and for that reason we start with Philonets with these FA Vars fact file hat on, before talking to a manager who was only 10 minutes from last season's FA Vars final before heartbreak in the semi-final. And he now hopes to repeat the feat with a new club, but very similar looking squad. Rounding us off is the non-league paper's senior writer David Richardson, giving us some insight into the weekend stories. So much to keep you entertained. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway.
Now, our next guest, he was already a legend of the show, but bidding for the most appearances title already this season is our next guest. Last week, he had his FA Cup hat on. I don't know if this one's a heavier hat or a more prestigious hat, but this week it's the FA Vars hat. Step forward, the man, the legend, the author of FA Cup 150, it's at FA Vars Fact Bar, Mr. Philonets. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Good to be back. Yeah, it probably is a little bit heavier, given the number of ties and clubs involved. Yeah, a bit more difficult.
It is a tough one, isn't it? Because is it 203 ties this weekend? That's a lot of football. It's a lot of focus on the FA Vars this weekend.
Yeah, there was 203 ties drawn out, but actually four of them are not going ahead. So just 199 to deal with, that's all.
And 199 that you've done a preview of all of them, and we'll tell people exactly where they can read all of those previews later on. But again, we've had these ties now for a couple of months, hasn't it? I think it was Friday the 9th of July where we learned this set of ties and the ties for the next round. And for some of these clubs, this is going to be their first venture into the competition. I'd imagine There's a lot of people been trying to sit on their hands, biting their nails, and just waiting for these games to come around.
Yeah, it's fabulous, isn't it, for clubs to get involved in this competition for the first time. They have not maybe participated in a national competition before, so it'd be their first opportunity to do so. And we've got some fantastic names of clubs coming in. We've got Ilkley Town and Buckhurst Hill, as well as Staplehurst Monarchs United, which I think is a fabulous name for a club.
Yeah, and I think that's always the thing that I enjoy, but particularly this first round of the FA Vars, is some of the names. And as I mentioned in recent weeks, some of the history of those names that you also include in your book, FA Cup 150. It shows the wealth and the breadth of history across non-league football.
It does. It shows that there's communities setting up football clubs and involved with football clubs all around the country. And I know for sure there's a lot of Step 7 clubs who'd love to also be part of the Vars. So there's even more beyond the Step 6 level that is allowed to enter in the competition.
Yeah, and I think it's always exciting, but extra exciting this year because of the restructure that we've had, the pyramid changing. This is the Premier Cup competition, knockout cup competition for steps 5 to 7 clubs. Yes. And it is the one where, you know, we speak later on in the season how big a day out it is when these clubs get to Wembley. But it's an opportunity for every one of these lads that are taking part in these 199 ties this weekend to make that first step on the road to Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I call it the egalitarian cup in the sense that any club that participates in it has as much chance of winning it as any other club. And those that are starting off in the first qualifying round, they've got just as much chance of getting all the way to the final as those that might be exempted until round one and round two. Just as Warrington Rylands, last year's winners, did. They started off in this first qualifying round and went all the way to lift the vase.
Yeah, and because there's so many clubs this time round, there's not always the... although it's regionalised, it's not always the head-to-head local battles that we see time and time again. I feel, particularly having the FA Cup draw again this week, that sometimes we just see the same clubs face each other time and time again. The FA Vars doesn't seem to be like that this year. There are a few, though, that have faced each other and are probably looking for some vengeance.
Yeah, there is. I mean, even the FA Cup doesn't really have that many repeated ties, but only 25 of the ties in the FA Vars, so what's that, 1/8 of the ties are clubs that involved each other with each other in the past. In terms of revenging or avenging past defeats, I think Holyport probably will be keenest to wipe the memory of their last meeting, because it's only a year ago they lost. 4 years ago, sorry, when they lost 7-0 to Broadfield United, who they actually meet this time around again. So they'll be very keen to wipe that memory.
Yeah, and because these clubs haven't met that often in the FA Vars, and because of the way the FA Cup's structured nowadays, it's quite rare that they would have met in the FA Cup. A lot of them are also cross leagues as well, aren't they? You've got Western League against Southern Combination League, and Hellenic against the Wessex League down in the south there. So it is when we talk about the non-league family, this is where friendships are made up and down the country. Although it's regionalised, you're seeing people that you've probably never met before.
Yeah, I think that's a truism, actually. There's a lot of clubs who are facing teams they've never encountered before. I mean, some of them obviously are meeting teams from a different league that they may have met when they were both in part of the same league last season. But particularly this year, what may be ongoing is that there's only one game to play, so there's no replay required. So it will be a great day out for clubs to go and visit new teams and new opponents and make new friends.
A great day out, and also probably not that, as much as we all love replays, sometimes if you're playing a team out of area on the budgets that these clubs are, a Tuesday night around the M25 or at the other side of the country is probably not what everybody's looking forward to.
No, there has been clubs actually who've pulled out as a consequence of not being able to go the distance on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, and there's as ever, I always love your stats, whether it's FA Cup fact file or FA Vars fact file. Radstock Town against Arundel. Now, I think we've spoken about Arundel before in the FA Cups. I think Dave Anderson had played them, or maybe they played them in the FA Vars. I can't remember where it was now. But it's the sort of set. Arundel are playing a club which is fairly unique to the history. Do I need to remind you,
No, I mean, it's fine. It's one of my favourite style of stats, really. Arundel have played in 47 FA Vars campaigns, or this will be the 48th, I think, and they've been involved in 79 matches. But Radstock Town will be their first opponent to begin with the letter R. So it is one of my favourite quirky style of facts that I dig out every now and again.
It's something in me that just wishes that we had Jonathan Ross available just to quote that stat for us. But that is a quirky stat, and it makes you unique, Phil, because I'm not sure there's too many other people that would have found that stat out. And that's why we love you. And I've mentioned about other clubs that are playing maybe in their first Vars this year, but there's also plenty of clubs that have done very well in the competition before and be looking to sort of emulate that success again. We've got certainly, I know there's some runners up in there, some semi-finalists. Does that give them any make them favourites in their games?
I don't know. It's hard to say, really. I mean, we've got 7 former winners in the first qualifying round. There's not many competitions where you might find that number of, or if any, former winners taking part in the earliest round of a competition. As I said earlier, I don't believe they've got any more or less chance of missing the Vars at the end of the season as anyone else. And you know, the fact that they've won it before is not relevant. As you know, one of my other favourite stats about the Vars is that every year the final has always contained at least one club that's never been there before. So this is another example of why this competition is so great for these clubs, that anyone has that chance of a big day out.
Yeah, and talking of big days out, we always love to know where you're heading over the weekend, Phil. Any particular ties that you've got your eye on?
Well, there's plenty of choices, of course. But I'm going to be heading up north for me up to watch Cheadle Town take on Erlen in their match on Saturday afternoon. I'm sort of doing a double header for myself because I'll be presenting or displaying at a football programme and football memorabilia fair in Stockport on Sunday at Stockport County's ground. So I'm sort of doing the match on Saturday and then the programme fair on the Sunday, so staying up in the area for the weekend.
And also rubbing shoulders with plenty of non-league fans throughout the weekend then, I guess.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope to see many fans both at the game and at the programme fair. It'd be fantastic to see them.
Yeah, so obviously everybody can grab the full information tie by tie of all of these 199 being played this weekend, and we'll point them in that direction at the moment. But what's your favourite stat this weekend out of all of those ties?
I always often get asked what's my favourite stat. I know what is a good stat is that we've only got one tie which involves two clubs that the winner will be guaranteed to be in a second qualifying round for the first time. So It's Langley FC from Berkshire, who are in their first time they're appearing in the competition. Sorry, get that way around. It's Langley from Berkshire will be playing Hilltop FC, who are competing in the Vars for the first time. And Langley have yet to win in the competition. And so whoever does win that game will one win their first match and also be guaranteed to be in the second qualifying round for the first time. And that's the only tie where that is the case.
Yeah, one of the times that grabbed my attention, just because in the local news we've got all the stuff about kids going back to college, going back to school, and Freshers' Week starting up at universities. Tie number 85, University of East Anglia against Swaffham Town. Now a fairly local derby in the eastern counties, but I'm wondering how University of Anglia are doing in fielding aside. I don't know if you've got any insight there, Phil, but the term hasn't started yet and they're playing in the first qualifying round of the FA Vars.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how they get a constitution for their team, but yeah, we have had several university clubs in both the Vars and the FA Cup in recent times. So somehow they managed to get a squad together and hopefully they'll enjoy their first venture in the competition.
Yeah, and you mentioned that we're not sure about the constitution of these clubs and despite their names. The Debenham Leisure Centre, now playing Peterborough Northern Star. If Peter Kay were to write a sitcom about non-league football, it would be tie number 80. Step 6 against hosting step 5. It's got everything about it.
Yeah, it's one of those ties where it just brings up images of the local clubs at this level. Throughout the country, and anyone who's a fan of these sort of teams will love the fact that their club can have its own distinct identity. So there's not going to be any other leisure centre probably that plays in the competition, and probably no other Northern Star. So it gives them a unique position within the football world.
Yeah, well, talking about a unique position in the football world, Phil. It's a busy time of year at the moment. We speak to you throughout the season. It's going to be, we're probably speaking to you every week now throughout the season because of the way that the Vars, the trophy and the FA Cup have been aligned this year, which is great because it makes more sense. What were you, driving up and down the country, attending programme fairs, trying to plug your book? I wonder if you've got any time in the week to prepare these stats.
I know, and today, just before we started talking to each other, I was just halfway through doing the next round of the FA Cup as well. So sometimes it's a bit difficult for me to remember which one I'm managing at which time. So the FA Cup is obviously comes around again in a week's time, and I should be have my tie by ties ready for the beginning of the week. Hopefully, if I can get through the weekend.
Yeah. So you've given us your favourite stat. We've spoken about club names. What's the first result you're going to be looking out for once the weekend's over?
It'd be interesting to see what happens with Macclesfield as they're entering into the Vars. Obviously, reformed at the beginning of this season. So they obviously would be expected to be one of the favourites, perhaps. It'd be interesting to see how they get on.
Well, Phil, I suppose I better let you go and you pack your bag and pack some books in ready for the programme fair. Remind everybody how they can find out more about all of these FA Vars stats this weekend ahead of the weekend.
Well, you can follow me on FA Vars Fact File on Twitter. But I do actually put the blog onto my FA Cup Fact File WordPress.com blog site. So you can find all the 199 ties that will be played previewed there.
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody the other day who's also a non-league fan, and I was suggesting that maybe we need like a scrolling site of yours, of that WordPress site, just scrolling in the background of every clubhouse in the land, because I could see, you know, it would be like the modern day teletext sort of brought to life and animated stats and fact file of non-league football.
That'd be good, wouldn't it, for my advertising anyway, if I could get that in place.
We'll see what we can do on the market in front. Phil Annett, at FA Vars Fact File, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
My pleasure, Tim.
So it is FA Vars this weekend, start the FA Vars, the first qualifying round, and I thought it's time to go back to a man that featured on the show a couple of times last season when he was with his old club, United Services Portsmouth. He took them all the way to the semi-finals, very nearly into the final as well. Losing out on penalties to Binfield in the semi-finals must have been a heartbreak for Glenn Turnbull, but he's now the manager at Moneyfields and looking to put that right in this season's FA Vars. So it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Glenn Turnbull, manager at Moneyfields.
Thank you.
I don't like to start on a sour note, Glenn, but it was a fantastic season last year, wasn't it? You really were the talk of the town, even in those penalties. Because I remember watching the footage online and both teams really did give their all in that game.
Yeah, that's not nice being a Pompey fan and be United Services 8 minutes from finals, 92 still rankled hard, so let alone last season. But yeah, no, it was we were 8-9 minutes away, I think, and then 3-2 up on penalties before we missed the last two. So yeah, it's still a bit raw, but that was last year, we've got to move on now.
Yeah, I mean, we've not had the longest of a pre-season's break before. You're back in with the new club. Moneyfields, a club that means a lot to you, I think, sort of growing up as a Portsmouth-based guy. So I guess making the move, it was hard to leave United Services, but it was always going to be a club that would be able to pull on your heartstrings and get you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I was there as reserve manager a few years back before I went to United Services. And as soon as Dave Carter had left to go to Portsmouth, Moneyfields had asked if I was interested. So even probably before the Christchurch game of the United Services run, I kind of knew that I'd be going back there. But with some circumstances, the club's taken voluntary relegation from Southern League, so we're back in the Wessex Premier with United Services, funnily enough. But we're having a massive rebuild, and it's a club that's got a future about it. And it gave progression to the boys, really. I was almost sure that if I didn't leave and take them with me to another club, that they would disperse to the four corners, essentially. So it was a way of keeping the team together that I'd spent 2 or 3 years building.
Yeah, and you say that majority of the squad have moved across with you and gone to Moneyfields. And up at that next level, Step 5, Wessex Premier, it started well. It's not been the best last few weeks for you, so you're probably looking forward to the FA Vars.
Yeah, it's a welcome distraction. I think I've written in my programme notes that we're either very good or very bad. There's no middle ground at the moment. And it's
we play, I think, four teams that are already in the top five. I suppose you would say that if they've only played four or five games, then winning one of them against us is going to put them up there. And we also played last week Christchurch, who over the last two seasons, although they've been in a similar situation to United Services, have been top of the Wessex Premier. So we haven't had the easiest of starts, but equally, we've not done ourselves justice in the games we've had. So the FA Vars is a welcome distraction, but as this interview kind of proves, it brings added pressure because people will remember, everyone will know that it's, or in all bar name, it's the semi-finalists from last season, as you said. So that'll bring an added pressure on myself and the lads to get a result this weekend.
Yeah, well, week in, week out, I'd say on this programme, it doesn't matter how big a fan you are and how connected you are with the club, whatever role you do with the club, we don't understand how hard it is to be a manager. Now, you've got you've brought those set of lads over to a new club. You've known them for many, many years. I guess you've got to play a bad cop this at the moment in the current run of your, or you've got to appeal to the bits of the players that you understand their personality. You've got to get the best out of these players again. And if anyone can, you can. But that's a lot of pressure on your shoulders.
I think we've probably overthought things and tried to change the way we play and tried to change things to suit. Maybe we've suffered terribly with injuries of our forward line. So I think Steve Hutchins stayed at the club and I've brought in four others and all five have been injured over the past 4 weeks, since the season started. So that hasn't helped. But bad cop's not necessarily a position, but it is. I think that we're all on a learning curve, the players included, about it. We thought it might just be, we just turn up, it's only one step up, but it is a significant difference, and we're all just going through a learning phase at the moment. So rather than bad cop, we're all hoping just to go through it together and keep trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the club took voluntary relegation, and Steve came down with you as well, and came down with the club. But so he's got experience at highest level. But I was going to say I love the story. I don't love the story, but it's typical non-league, isn't it? The striker that's probably got the most experience that you probably want in and around the camp as much as possible at the moment hasn't been available to attend every training session and every local cup game because of his work away further up the country.
Yeah, Steve's got his own roofing company as well, so they've got quite a big contract working away. So he's away, but also he took a nasty injury in our first game against Cowes, so he's been injured as well. But he's such a big character. We had him back for his first game last Saturday, and although he's only probably 60% fit, he's such a character in and around the other players. He demands those high standards because of that experience. And it rubs off ordinarily. It didn't work Tuesday, but we're hoping it will tomorrow.
Yeah. You mentioned about that those players are stepping up from step six, as you were. Have you got any other sort of experience at a higher level that are within that camp? Because I know you had quite a young side when you were at United.
There was quite a young side, but our goalkeeper, Tom Price, has played Southern League for Gosport. We've had one or two that are ex-academy that have been released. And we brought in Robbie Evans, who's played nearly all of his career at Wessex Prem, so which is step five, obviously. So we're trying to get a balance right of bringing through the ones that gave us our success in the United Services, but put some structure around that with some experience. Brought Sweeney with us recently from United Services as well, and he's played not only high level for the Navy, but also locally around winning the Wessex Premier, playing in Petersfield up in the Southern League. So we kind of want to get the right balance there in that way as well.
Yeah. And Moneyfield, this is the first year they've been back in the FA Vars because they've been playing at the higher level. Is there a sort of sense of excitement with the FA Vars coming back to the club?
Yes and no, really. I think the whole mantra for this year. It's just a learning year. There's no pressure on us. There's no pressure on the club going through, as I say, a massive development. It's just about keeping everything together. That said, I don't suppose my name would have been bannered around for taking a money building job without the FA Bard run. So they're fully aware of the what we're bringing and what that brings, and that they are hopeful that Moneyfield have a bit of a run this year. But I'm really conscious that last year's bridesmaid could be the first faller this year, so we don't necessarily want to be doing that either. So
I sense the pressure, and you know, it's like any club that always is, that they've got a great ground. Everybody comes along and plays as if it's Wembley, and you're going to have a similar outlook from the visitors. A fairly, you know, local game, Tottenham and Elling. How much do you know about them? Have you been able to get some scouting reports on them?
Not for this season, but obviously with United Services, we played them over the previous three seasons, so we know them as a club. I liken them a little bit to some of the sides in Portsmouth that I've been associated with. You know, they're right next door to Tottenham, but they're a smaller little club that have to survive through their own endeavours, and I like that about them. I've been saying, picking up on your previous point, I've been saying that for the whole squad. One of the pressures we're going to have to deal with is, although we are United Services, essentially step six side playing in Moneyfield's kit this year, no one will care about that, and they'll see Moneyfield dropping down,
yeah,
and that's a massive target on our back before we've even kicked the ball. So, and that's the same every game we've played, even in all the local derbies with the Wessex Prem is bringing this year. They're still like, oh, ex-Southern League Moneyfield, and it's a target that everyone wants to beat us at the moment, which is fine. That's what something we've got to deal with.
You know, you say it's a rebuilding year, but would a run in the FA Vars, would that be high up the priority list rather than trying to look for promotion this season for the Wessex League?
I think both would be nice. I think both are probably not a pipe dream, could we prove last year, with hard work and proper preparation. You can get results in this tournament, but equally, you know, I think when you looked over the history books of teams from Portsmouth, there's not many that get out of the early rounds, let alone to the quarterfinals, last 16, semi-finals. So if the winners of our game play the winners of Porchester Romsey, so again, straight into a difficult game. Porchester are favourites for the Wessex Prem this year with the budget they've got and the players they've taken. So the story I've just told about us being a United Services team playing in Moneyfield colours, well, they're a Moneyfield team playing in Portsmouth colours. They have got a bag of Southern League experience. I think every player around the pitch and on their bench has vast experience of football at a lot higher level than step five and six. So if we are fortunate enough to win the weekend, if they win, the next roll of the dice is an easy one for us for sure. So
yeah.
Step going as we have to.
Yeah, it's never easy being a football manager. It's never easy being a presenter of the Non-League Football Show either. Now, I'll let everybody into a secret. I am trying to record this on location due to other commitments. I'm in the middle of Leicester Square, and as I'm talking to Glenn here, I've got a group of Hare Krishna people going past me singing and giving us a little musical interlude. So it's probably a first on the Non-League Football Show. What I was going to say was, Glenn, you mentioned about being 10 minutes away from the FA Vars final last time around. I think it's probably another 800 minutes of football to play, which sounds a lot, but probably in that 800 minutes of football, as a manager, imagine how many things you could achieve in 800 minutes of football.
Yeah, and I think it was 9 games or 8 games last year. And in those, we were only behind in one. So that goes to show that, as I said, if you prepare properly, if you take every opponent seriously and you do the right things, you've got a chance. And as you say, in that amount of football, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll start there. Start
I,
the, start the ball rolling Saturday and see where we end up.
Well, I'm sure you'll be far more prepared than I was, obviously, for this interview, Piper, doing it from Leicester Square. But Glenn Turnbull, I wish you well at the weekend. It's always good to get you on the show. And we do wish you well this weekend. And hopefully we will speak to you again very, very soon.
Thank you. Take care. See you later.
So, rounding off the week's news, of course, there is only one place to head. It's our favourite place at this time of the week. It's Non-League Paper Towers, and it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure, and always a pleasure when it's such a quiet week in the world of non-league. I'll throw all the way back to last weekend and the front page of the non-league paper last Sunday. 50 goals in the National League on Saturday last week. Is that the first time that we've ever had that in one weekend?
Yeah, it's certainly worth looking back through the history books, isn't it, I think? But, you know, I, to be honest, personally, I sort of quite want to sort of move on from last weekend because I think that the only nil-nil, which is between Borehamwood and Stockport County. So, as much as, it probably made for a good front page and some good content inside the paper, personally, it wasn't sort of such a great weekend for me. But no, sort of, good to see sort of that amount of goals going in, really. It sort of gives good profile to the league and non-league. 3-4-3s, 2-3-2s, 3-2-2s, and a 3-3 in there. Certainly an extraordinary weekend, and you know, I think that sort of has probably summed up the start of this National League season. Really, I think we've seen a lot of good games and goals. Obviously, we know about the signings clubs have made and the investment that's been put into clubs this season. It certainly seems like the action sort of being delivered on the pitch, whether that's to do with fans being back into grounds and, you know, a little bit more sort of unpredictability and, you know, in terms of sort of, you know, reacting to that, I don't know. It's certainly been a good start.
Yeah, I don't want to rub it in with your nil-nil reported. And yeah, for anybody that's never had to write a match report, it is very easy to write a match report when it's 5-1. When it's nil-nil, without making references to the clouds, it can be difficult to sum up a game and get even nil-nils can be exciting, but it's still difficult to get that down on paper. We've spoken in recent weeks, like to Peter Brabos, Peter of Sports, Jimmy Dean, and they've obviously had loads of goals in their game the other weekend. We spoke to the boss at Hazen Yedding United, Paul Hughes, and they've been banging in the goals and that. It does seem that we, after these two abortive seasons we've had and sort of a lack of football, that suddenly goal scorers, you know, we talk about goal scorers going out of form and not being able to score goals for ages. They've stocked it all up and suddenly the golden touch has been found.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just that sort of, you know, back playing football when you sort of have a bit more energy sort of about teams and for some reason it does seem sort of more entertaining across the board, doesn't it? Like I say, I don't know whether that's because fans are back in and, you know, without having fans in, things can be stale and a little bit sort of predictable and too many patterns. We certainly won't pass down the opportunities. Lots of goals flying in and across the grounds and competitions. So yeah, really sort of good to see for non-league really, and that's sort of what it's all about, isn't it? Going to football and seeing goals and action and comebacks, etc. So really good start.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you make reference to the fans, and I think again another discussion that I've had with somebody else this week, there does seem to be a lot more goals in the dying minutes at the moment. And I don't know if that's the concentration of the players, whether, again, without match practice maybe, and just getting back into it, or whether it is the fans. Because you don't see, I certainly haven't seen at games, people sneaking out early before the final whistle. They do seem to stick around, which, again, probably means that they also stick on the backs of their defenders or the opposition players.
Yeah, I mean, I perhaps wouldn't have minded leaving early at Borehamwood last weekend. But I think you are right. Yeah, you know, you have to sort of stay in the end, maybe, really. You know, can never be sure which way things are going to go and what you might miss, to be honest. And I think certainly when the games are good as well, it sort of it keeps you in your seat, doesn't it? Or keeps you on the terraces. Yeah, you're not looking for a quick getaway at all.
Yeah, and it's been good to see on social media and sort of hearing people having conversations as well. There's a few people that drifted down from the professional game where, you know, they've obviously got their own issues and the different protocols in place as well that makes it a bit more difficult to get into games. And people are drifting back down to non-league, whether that's those protocols, whether it's the costs, or whether it's just because people are used to being a bit more local than they have been in previous seasons. It's good to know that people are getting out to their local non-league clubs, but also enjoying the football.
Yeah, absolutely. I've sort of heard a lot of people really saying sort of how much they've enjoyed being back at football. And like you say, without, having it for so long, you do realise sort of what you've missed. That does seem to be the case in non-league. Also, I think whether people sort of have readjusted their views a little bit over the last 18 months in terms of attending top-flight football or leagues higher up and sort of, you know, want to go a bit more local where it is cheaper to attend matches and often comes with less travelling as well. Whether people have taken that view. Of course, you know, times are hard for a lot of people after sort of coming out of the pandemic and what's gone on during this sort of time. So maybe there's a little bit of a change of attitude towards things, which, you know, I suppose is to the benefit of non-league, isn't it? And, you know, it's up to the sort of clubs and, I suppose everyone sort of involved with the football clubs to try and keep those people for the future and embed them. You know, I know a lot of clubs have sort of, done sort of certain admission deals or season ticket deals to try and sort of get people back in. I think we have been seeing that as well, really. The attendance is sort of across the board. Seems to be holding up really well. I know there's always a little bit of a boost probably at the start of a season when the weather's a bit better and you've had that summer break. But, it's certainly good to see that at least after the pandemic.
Yeah, and you know, as much as we're saying that we're enjoying the football and particularly, yeah, there does seem to be a fair few neutrals that are sort of ground hopping and trying to take in as much football as they can that they've missed out on. I always do feel, because I've been involved with clubs that are down the bottom of the table, and it is early doors in the season, but you're looking at the National League as if this year wasn't going to be difficult enough for Dover Athletic. They're still without a win in their three games. You've also got Aldershot there without a win in four. Probably, if you're supporting one of those clubs, as much as you've got the passion for that football club, it probably becomes a bit more difficult to enjoy the games.
Yeah, it does, and I suppose that is the I don't know what you sign up to be really, and as a supporter, if you're there for when you're winning leagues and sort of playing well and up near the top of divisions, then you kind of have to be there for the bad times as well. And often it is more bad times than good, really, isn't it? I think that makes it sweeter when things are going well. But yeah, it is tough when you're struggling. Obviously, you look at Dover and, like you say, on minus 12. Having spoken to Andy Hessenthaler in pre-season, he sort of said, it was important to try and get off to a good start, get back to zero as quickly as possible, and then they can start looking at who's around them and try climbing up the table. But, yeah, obviously, no points from their first three. I mean, it's not quite sort of panic stations yet, but, they need to start chipping away at that minus 12. And that's where then you can start looking to see whether, how many games have Aldershot won or Barnet and those teams above you, really. But I suppose from a supporter's point of view, the likes of Dover, they would certainly have known what they're going into. And, and arguably that maybe makes it a little bit more exciting almost going in at minus 12. And it's a little bit unusual, isn't it? And everything's sort of stacked against you and the odds are against you. So
I've always said, maybe being a non-league fan, there's something a little bit sadistic about you. You almost like to be the underdog. It's not good to be the favourite and everything, because that's not very non-league, is it? But have you look at the fixtures coming ahead this week in the National League? Dover have got a home tie against Chesterfield, who are one of the what have we got? Six clubs without defeat at the top of the National League. And, you know, it is early days, but again, if you've got the march on some of those clubs around you, then that's good if you want to be bidding for the playoffs. Obviously, Chesterfield last time out were they? The fourth from bottom, weren't they? I think around November when James Rowe came in. So it's early days, but when you're bottom of the table, you're 12 points down, and then you've got one of the clubs that are up the top and haven't lost a game yet. That's a bit of a sinking feeling on a Saturday morning, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's not the easiest game, and you know, yeah, like you say, having not won in your first three, you probably sort of don't want as tough as it can almost get, really. But again, you know, you never know. At the same time, you could somehow get a result against Chesterfield, and all of a sudden that sort of sparks something, really. So
yeah,
we'll have to see what happens. But no, you're right; it's not going to be easy at all. And you know, Chesterfield have probably started and as well as people thought they would.
Yeah, and we like the diversity, the different types of teams, the different types of style and everything like that. But you mentioned that you were at Boreham Wood last week and the 0-0 draw. I mean, they are up there in the challenge at the top of the National League early doors at the moment with three wins and that one draw. But they have only scored four goals, but they've yet to concede this season. So maybe you could have maybe foreseen that might have been an issue.
Yeah, well, I was actually warned about that before the game. Someone did actually say if there's going to be sort of one scoreline you'd pin it on, it would be that, because Stockport have only scored two goals in their first few games and sort of have a few striking problems with Quigley out injured and sort of Madden not quite sort of firing yet either. So, yeah, I mean, perhaps you could have seen that coming, but obviously it's always a little bit easier when you know the answer, isn't it?
So fans of club are listening out now. Where's David Richardson headed to this weekend?
Well, I think I've actually been barred into the office this week, which maybe is a good thing for all non-league teams concerned. But no nil-nil draws where I'll be heading.
You've been given a new job. You've got to tally up all the goals as they come in now. That's your new role this Saturday. Obviously, it's been a quiet week for non-league this week. We did have the FA Cup first qualifying round last weekend, and then the draw this time on Monday for the second qualifying round for Saturday week. Step two clubs coming in, and it all gets a little bit more exciting this round.
Yeah, it does. It's always nice sort of when a new crop of teams come into the draw, and then you sort of start getting some sort of step five against step two or step five against step three as well, ties in there. So very much sort of looking forward to the next round of the FA Cup, which is September 18th. So sort of rattling through them in these early rounds like we always do. To simply sort of, get all the teams in, but you know that's obviously why we love the competition. So we'll look forward to that weekend. But FA Vars up first this Saturday.
Yeah, FA Vars. We've spoken to Phil Annexa when I did one of his great previews for you last week. 199 ties. We talk about the magic of the FA Cup, but really, if you're a non-league fan, if you're involved with a non-league club. This is probably the most magical competition.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, really, sort of when you speak to managers at step five and six sort of about it, and they always say how, you know, in their opinion, it's sort of the toughest competition to sort of win, really, because everyone's sort of very much largely on sort of the same sort of playing field, you know, across steps five and six. So there's so many evenly matched teams and sort of, like you say, 199 ties, it's so vast as well. So to sort of navigate your way through and get all the way to Wembley, it's some achievement. Busy weekend coming up in that competition when it gets going tomorrow. But good to have the Vars back and we'll look forward to sort of following the progress of the teams and there, sort of see who the latest sort of step five and six sort of stars are, really, because you always, whenever you get to the later round, you sort of start seeing some really proper clubs who have, you know, ambitions of climbing the table. And I mean, when I say proper clubs, I mean sort of proper ambitious clubs, you know, that really want to climb up and reach sort of step three and step two. And, you know, we always see those in the later rounds when they sort of start flourishing, and, you know, some really good players in there as well. So, yeah, great competition and looking forward to again starting.
Yeah, so we've got the 199 ties in the FA Vars. We've got a full league campaign, I think, across from steps one down to four. I'd imagine a fairly packed paper on Sunday morning, but anything else we can expect to read in there this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely packed with Vars and, I might say, league action as well. And I spoke to Mick Jones at Boston Town, their 41-year-old captain who... chalked up 1,000 senior games last weekend. Yeah, some story that Mick's still going and playing. He just simply sort of loves the game and keeps himself in really good shape. So it's great to have a chat with him. Also spoke to Dave Kitson last week when Arsley Town was sort of getting their name out there for their sort of new era. So that's a big piece coming in this weekend. Adam Virgo returns for his latest thoughts on the start of the National League. And we've got loads more in there. It's it's packed already, and we're only at Thursday as we speak.
Well, a good reason to get up on Sunday morning. David Richardson from the Non-League paper, thank you for joining us, and speak to you soon.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and for everybody for listening. And if you do manage to get away and get to listen to the show in an obscure location, please do let us know. Share your pics on social media or send them to hello@nonleaguefootballshow.com. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. I'm there myself at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes and Overcast on Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA